إِنَّ الْحَمْدَ لِلَّهِ وَالصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَى أَشْرَفِ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ مُحَمَّدٍ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَمَنْ وَلَا بَعْدُ. My brothers and sisters, we are talking about a sense of belonging to Islam. And in that, the final part of this series is the cardinal principle of any sense of belonging, whether it is any group, whether it's family, which is the primary group to which we belong, whether it is a social group, whether it is a political group, whether it is a commercial group, whether it's a corporation, whichever. The primary principle is that of safety. And that principle is that when I am in that group, I am safe. And any threat to me, by definition, can only come from outside that group. This is the basic principle on which all affiliations run. So when I am in my family, there is no threat to me. I do not foresee, I do not perceive, and I should not perceive any threat from my family. No threat from my wife, my husband, my children, my parents, my brothers, sisters. Any threat that may come to me can only come from outside of this. So who is my family? Those who will protect me, those who will defend me, those who will not allow any threat to come to me. This is the basic principle, basic definition. Same thing with friendship. Right? Same thing with friendship. Who is your friend? The one who will defend you. The one who will not allow you to be harmed in any way, whether it's physical, whether it is verbal. Supposing, for example, Bobby and I, we go back many, many years. If he hears that I was in a gathering where he was being criticized and where he was being insulted, and I did nothing, I was silently listening to that, what do you think he will feel? What would be his expectation? That I am his close and dear friend for so many years, and in a gathering where he was not present, if he was being insulted or he was being accused falsely or whatever it was, he was being attacked, then his expectation would be that I would either do one of two things. Either I would walk out of there, or I would defend him and say, look, this is not correct. You should not be saying things like this. Yes or no? If I did not do that, then what is this friendship? It is only a sham, it's a joke. I mean, what friendship? If a friend who cannot defend you, a friend who will not do anything for you, a friend who is, on the contrary, a potential threat, take a step further. Supposing he hears that not only did I not defend him, not only did I not walk away, but I was participating in that discussion and I was also one of the people accusing him. Now it is a step more. Now, why am I saying that? Because this is exactly the principle of Islam, the principle of being an ummah. That is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu in Surah Al-Hujurat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the issue of ghibah, of backbiting. And not only did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mention the issue of ghibat, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala compared it to eating the flesh of your dead brother. These are the ayat of the Quran. This is not, I didn't dream it up, right? There is a book of mine called Akhlaq of the Ummati, which has all of this in detail, and many of you have heard those khutab here, which I will ask Umair to put with this further reminder. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this. He gave this example of ghibat, of backbiting, and Allah said, فَكَرِهْتُمُوهُ. Do you not find this disgusting? Now, why is this so much of importance on backbiting? What is backbiting? Somebody came when Rasulullah was teaching this. Somebody said to him, Ya Rasulullah, but what I have said about so and so is true. I'm not concocting it. I haven't made it up. This is actually true. This person has done this. This person is like this. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that is what is the meaning of ghibat. That is why it is ghibat. If that was not the case, if you had constructed this, if you had created this story about this person which is not true, then this would have been bohtan, this would have been slander. That is an even bigger offense. Ghibat is to say something critical about a person in that person's absence, which happens to be true. Right? That is ghibat. Say, I bought something from Hafiz bhai. I paid him the money, but he did not deliver me the product. Right? Now, I am coming here and I am telling Mazhar bhai, Mazhar bhai, you know what Hafiz bhai did to me? I have not added anything. I have not created anything. I am not telling any lies. Absolute 100% truth. Yeah? But I am telling it to Mazhar bhai. Where is Hafiz bhai? He is not there. In his absence, I am telling Mazhar bhai, this is what so and so did to me. This is ghibat. What must I do? I must go to Hafiz bhai and tell him, hey, I did the deal with you, no? Why am I going to somebody else? Supposing I say, well, if I go to him directly, he will not listen to me. I think he will listen to Mazhar bhai. Take Mazhar bhai with you. Take Mazhar bhai with you, sit in front of Hafiz bhai and say, this is what I paid you, this is what you are supposed to give me, please give me. And here is your friend who you respect, and your friend will support my case. This is what must be done. Not talk about this to somebody else in the absence of that person and say, well, this is true. Of course it is true. That is why it is ghibat. So now what happened when we did the ghibat? First of all, you were listed among those people who ate the flesh of your dead brother before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two is that your good deeds were transferred into the account of that person who you backbited. Now tell me, what sense does it make? That's why Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, he said, if I have to do ghibat, I will do ghibat of my mother. And why did he say that? Because he says, if my good deeds have to go to somebody, let them go to my mother. What sense does it make to give your good deeds to somebody you don't even like? Obviously, if you are doing ghibat of somebody, you don't like that person. Right? Why would you want to give your good deeds to that person? Give it to somebody you like. That's the reason why somebody came and told Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi, so and so is saying something bad about you. So Imam Shafi sent him some fruits. He said, since you are giving me your good deeds, at least let me pay you something. You know, here is some fruit. Enjoy yourself. Now, people took these things seriously. I mean, this is the point I am saying. This is ghibat. Now, Islam goes to the extent not only of prohibiting direct ghibat, which is I am bad talking Hafiz bhai or I am bad talking Mushtaq bhai. This is a direct ghibat. This is what else. Islam even prohibited saying something which amounts to backbiting, not by speaking about it, but isharatan, hinting. I've given this example many times because this is very typical of our, at least in Hyderabad. Huh? So if you mention somebody, you say, Yavar Beg, oh. Huh? So, what did you say? आप कहीं कुछ आप यावर साहब को बुरा बोला, मैं कब बुरा बोला, मैं कुछ भी नहीं बोला. ये होता नहीं. जस्ट बाय द टोन ऑफ योर वॉइस और जस्ट बाय रेजिंग एन आईब्राउ और जस्ट बाय योर बॉडी लैंग्वेज और समथिंग यू हैव कन्वेड फार मोर देन एनी वर्ड्स वुड हैव कन्वेड. यू हैव पुट डाउट्स इन द माइंड्स ऑफ पीपल. यू हैव इफेक्टिवली you have attacked that individual even though you did not say anything. Islam says, no, all these games you can play, but this does not fool Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why it's called namima. This is something by inference. Now, once again, as I said, Islam does not tell you that any injustice that is done by somebody, necessarily because it is done by a Muslim, you have to accept it. No, of course not. You do not have to accept it. You can fight it. You should fight it. You can do that, in a conciliatory manner through arbitration. You can take the person to court. You can sue them. Absolutely no problem. Islam does not prevent you from getting justice, and the doors of that justice are open all the way to the courts. If necessary, I'm not saying you should do that, but that is an option which is open. Nobody can stop you from doing that. If somebody has dealt with you unjustly, you have a right. But we do not have a right, even in a case like this, even where there is a case where you have filed a suit against somebody, even there you do not have a right to do ghibat of that person. You deal with it in the court, no problem. Now, why all of this? Because this is like termites. Imagine you have this, you know, in America and all that, you have Canada, all these places, entire buildings are made only of wood. Now, in that building, say for example, if you go there inside, you got two kinds of insects. You got termites and you have mosquitoes. Which will you deal with first? Which is more dangerous? Yeah? Because the termite will bring down the whole house. And the mosquito is an irritation. I mean, what's more than that? But termites, and the reason I'm giving the example of termites is because this ghibat is like this. You can't see it. The person who you are bad talking for a long time may not even know this is happening. But his image, his prestige, all of this is getting damaged. Because all over society, all of this stuff is floating around, you know, about this man and so on and so on. May be true, may not be true. We don't know this because some ghibat is ghibat, some ghibat is bohatan. People make up things. They add masala to this and so on. So they create all this, you know. He may not even know. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Al-fitnatu ashaddu min al-qatl. Allah said, the fitna is worse than killing, worse than qatl. Because you have character assassination has been done. The person has been, defamed. So, even though he is alive, but he has been defamed. He may not even know. Just like that, like termites, you don't even know the termites are there until the whole thing collapses. Then you say, oh my God, this is what happened. Termites were there. And that is the reason why ghibat is prohibited so strongly. One day, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was walking with the Sahaba, and there was a dead donkey which had been thrown on a pile of garbage. It had been rotting for some time. There was a nasty smell. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, would any of you like to eat that? For Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, even to give an example like this is very out of character. Normally, he would not say things like this. If you read the seerah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not give bad examples or nasty examples. But the issue was so serious that in this particular case, he said this. He said, would you like to eat? Would any of you like to eat that? They say, Ya Rasulullah, how can we eat this thing? He said, when you bad talk your brothers, it is worse than this. It is worse than this. And that is because this whole issue of sense of belonging, ghibat destroys that sense of safety. I began by saying that, what did I say about the family? That you feel safe. I don't have to have a defense wall against my wife or against my husband or against my children or against, you know, close friends and so on and so forth. Anything I want, I can say to my friend, in complete confidence. I know that it will not go from him anywhere. I can ask for advice. I can afford to be vulnerable before my friend. I don't have to have any, image. I can't do that with everybody. That would be foolish to do it with everybody. You have to have, defenses in the world, and you have to have an image in the world. But there are close friends and, you know, your spouse and so on and so forth, your parents. You don't want to have that. You should not have that. There should be no need. Ghibat destroys that. Today, see the state of our community. We have zero trust. Almost by definition, if a Muslim starts something, we say there has to be some problem with this. Why? And you are not wrong in that. I'm not saying you are right about that individual, but you are not wrong in your caution, because you have seen in your own life that many times Muslims have done things which have resulted in loss. People have deceived, they have lied, they have cheated, they have done this. So, whole basis of trust is gone. The issue of sense of belonging rests on trust. And this is what was the strength of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi Alayhim Ajmain. That trust which was with them. They never betrayed one another. Whatever. And it's not to say they did not have differences. They had differences. They were human. They had differences with each other. They had quarrels with each other like anybody else. But they did not allow that to destroy the feeling of brotherhood and oneness. I remind myself and you, let us keep this in mind. And remember, all of this comes into play only when there is an issue. When everything is going good, it's fine. Only when there is an issue, then we have to remember this. And for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we must keep this in mind and say that whatever else I do or I don't do, I will not bad talk another Muslim brother. Because this destroys the feeling of Ummah. If I have an issue with somebody, I will go talk to that person. But I will not talk ill about him or her behind their back. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to enable us to do that which is pleasing to him and to save us from that which does not please him. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.